Well, praise the Lord. You're glad you're in church this morning?
Amen.
I'm glad you're here too. And this morning as we begin, I want you to go to the book of Ephesians with me. Book of Ephesians. I'm going to talk a little bit about missions in the morning service today.
But thank you.
What do you got to do?
Hey, does anybody need faith promise slips? Have y'all got them for today? Okay, we're going to hand those in the offering today, okay?
All right. You might want to take them up after I'm done preaching this morning.
No, I'm going to do it before.
You sure?
Yeah, the reason is you might say something that causes them not to want to give.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Yes, sir. We'll do it
after. Oh, boy, I tell you.
Amen.
You are a nutcase, you know it. I tell you.
Well,
he says I'm bad, but he's worse than I am. Well, God is good. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. I'm going to look at just a couple of thoughts with you through the book of Ephesians this morning. And you notice I've spent here over a number of years, probably three or four different times, been in Ephesians. You know, it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. The whole Bible is my favorite book, but I love the book of Ephesians. It's just so practical with some things. And I've mentioned this before. I got different outlines for the book of Ephesians I've never preached. One is, as we look into the scripture, we see the entryway to a believer, the parlor of fellowship, the library, the living room, the music room, and the dressing room, you know. But today I want to look at another thought here, and beginning over in chapter 1, we're going to go through all the chapters, a little bit something from each one, and we're going to come over here to chapter 1 for a minute. And I want to, if you would look with me, please, beginning down there in verse 7 through verse 11, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will."
Amen.
And I see here, as I look at this text, beginning in verse 1, we see redemption by his blood.
Amen.
Redemption by his blood.
Amen.
There was a thing going around a number of years ago that someone had made a statement in a book. A well-known preacher in our country, a Baptist preacher in our country, at least I think he was Baptist, maybe he's changed the name of his church or something, but he wrote a book, and he declared in that book, he said, it wasn't the blood of Jesus, it was the death of Christ on the cross. And no, it had to be the blood, because he had to die.
Amen.
But he had to die by the shedding of the blood, period.
Right.
We have redemption
right.
because of that.
Right.
And he had to die, and he could die no other way, and he had to die on the cross, could not die any other way.
Amen.
If he did not die on the cross, or not by the shedding of blood, then you could not be saved. But then he had to go to the grave, and he had to raise again, but he could not raise again. If he did raise again without the shedding of blood, it would have meant nothing,
Amen.
Because he had to shed the pure blood of the Lamb of God in his veins, God's blood, I believe, in his veins. He had to shed for your sin and for my sin that we might be able to have eternal life. And then he makes a statement down there. He says in verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." And people take that word predestination, brother, and they confuse it. That has nothing to do with getting saved. It has nothing to do before you're saved. Predestination happens after you're saved.
Amen.
You're predestined
Amen.
To do the will of God, the right way, the things of God, and you could not be predestinated without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ upon the very cross of Calvary. That's what you need, and that's what I need. Well, the second thought I want to look at, I have six of these I want to look at. So the second thought I want to look at, when you go over with me, if you would, verse 4 of chapter 2. Verse 4 of chapter 2. And I'm going to read down through verse 10. The Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together." That word quickened means made alive. "Quickened us together with Christ by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by his grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What was before ordained? That when you get saved, the ordaining there is when not before you got saved, but before you got saved. Once you got saved, you were ordained to good works as a child of God. Now look here, we see number one, redemption by the blood, but number two, we see salvation by faith. You could believe that he shed his blood, you could believe all those things, but not be saved if you have not been saved by faith. It's by faith that you get saved, not by your works, not by anything else, but put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ that you can be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. For by grace are you saved through what? Through faith. It takes faith for you to be saved. It means you looked at something one day and you said, I have faith in God. You might not have made those words evident. You realized that you were a sinner, realized you were steeped in sin, realized that sin had control of your life and you needed to confess your sin. But because of that, you had faith in God that God would what? Forgive you for your sin. Some people want to come to the altar and they want to say a little prayer and they get up and go back to their seat and there's no change in their life. Nothing at all in their life that indicates that there was any salvation that ever took place. So salvation is a work of God in your life and my life, but you must believe by faith. You believe that he's got something for you to forgive you for your sin that you might be able to have eternal life. So I have faith in Jesus Christ. I did not understand when I got saved, Pastor, I did not understand the shed blood of Christ. I didn't understand anything about it. Here's what I understood. I understood from what I heard that Jesus would forgive me if I trusted him as my Savior. That's faith, coming to him by faith. Amen. But then I learned that it had to be because of the shedding of blood, and without that I couldn't have faith anyway. Amen. But I did not know that when I got saved. When I got saved, I did not know that Jesus was God. I just knew that Jesus was Jesus, and I heard that Jesus would forgive you for your sin and forgive you for your wickedness and forgive you for your ungodliness, and that he would save you. And I didn't get saved because I was in prison. I didn't get saved because I'd been busted. I got saved because I realized that I was a sinner and needed salvation from Jesus Christ in my life, and that's what you need when you get saved, the same very thing. Recognize that you are a sinner and before God. Amen.
Amen.
That's what happens when you get saved. And you come to him by faith.
Yeah.
By faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Not by your works. Before I was saved, it used to be works. I used to think if I did good enough, it could outweigh the bad stuff that I had done in my life.
Right.
I found out that don't work. Amen.
Right.
Why? Because that's works. It don't work because it's works. But salvation is by faith and by faith alone.
Amen.
We see a lot of times, sometimes kids and teenagers and even adults that get in a mess in their lives and they do something wrong and because of what they did and because of the enormity of it, that they think that they need to get saved again. I've had adults do the same thing. You don't need to get saved again and again and again and again. The Bible says you're going to get saved one time. That's what you need. And so you need to what you need to do as a child of God. Over in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's what we need after we're saved. Amen.
Yeah.
And once you're saved, that 1 John 1:9 is written to born again believers. That's a great book to study. Study it out sometime. Look at what it says in the book of 1 John about you and what you need and how you need to confess your sin as a child of God after you're saved to God and you do something you should not do. Amen. It's not, you don't need to get saved over and over and over and over. What would we do if we do that? We put Christ to an open shame.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible teaches for you and I. And then let's look, not only do we see redemption by his blood and see salvation by faith, but go with me, if you will, to chapter 3, and beginning down in verse 13, the Bible says this, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Otherwise, don't feel bad for me because of the hard times I'm going through. You know, sometimes, how many times do we feel sorry for somebody? Anybody in here? Oh man, I feel sorry for them. And look at the mess they are in their life. Paul said, listen, he said, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation. Don't worry about mine, for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me stop there for a little bit. we quit bowing on the knee.
Yeah, we have.
Now it's going to come to a point where you can't get on your knees. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But we quit bowing the knee. That means giving our will over to God's will, that His will might be accomplished in your life. Bowing the knee, recognizing Him for who He is and the holiness that He has and the holiness that He is, and making sure that our heart is a right relationship with Him as a child of God, that we might go through this life doing right and pointing other people towards Jesus Christ. So He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is that breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
And I see here the work of the Spirit.
Amen.
The work of the Spirit, because He says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Sometimes we think, and I want to be careful because I'm one, I'll throw my hands in the air and say hallelujah, but sometimes we think that that's the Spirit.
Right.
That's outward.
I'm not conjuring up the Spirit.
This is where the Spirit is in here.
Yeah.
And that might cause you to do this.
Amen.
It might cause you to stand up and say glory. It might cause you to stand up and say praise the Lord. Amen. But sometimes people just do that just to do it because everybody else is doing it. Amen. And they have no idea what the Spirit is doing in the other person's life. It looks good, so they get involved in doing the same thing, but don't know who Christ is in the right way. Don't know about being really Spirit-filled, because Spirit-filling will teach you as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're walking in the Spirit and you come into a situation that you ought not to be in, you're going to walk away from it.
Right, you will.
You'll turn your back on it.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
The problem with us is the eyes allure.
Right.
The heart allures us because we're not Spirit controlled. And we need Spirit control. This is the Spirit control individual. That ye being rooted in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. You might understand because you're Spirit controlled. You get in some churches sometimes and there's a big fight going on and there's no Spirit control on either side sometimes,
right,
brother.
Right.
And usually where you see the Spirit control sometimes is where the pastor's standing in the pulpit and he's not saying a word and he's trying to get your attention, but yet there's all this anger and all this bitterness going on in the house of God. Ought not to be that way in the very house of God.
Amen.
He said that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the, what, fullness of God.
Amen.
That's the purpose of the Spirit, amen. You might be full with the fullness of God. Well, then look at chapter 4 with me real quick. We see there the work of the Spirit, and we've already looked at the redemption by the blood and salvation by faith, and now we have the work of the Spirit. But I want you to go with me, if you will, over to chapter 4 for just a moment. I want to begin reading in let's just go verse 11. And it says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Amen. So pastors, and I did some and teachers, excuse me. I don't want to divide that. Amen. Because the pastor is a teacher also. And my teaching is always like this, is preaching. This is how I teach, you know. It's how I've always been. A while back, I had my son-in-law been very sick for about 2 months, and I filled the pulpit for him about six times, I think, you know, Sunday morning and Sunday school and Wednesday night. And Wednesday night, once in a while, even on Sunday morning, I'd do a worksheet, you know, where they'd have to fill in a blank, and I just get to preaching. I mean, I just get... Even at that, I try to teach, and I'm preaching, amen. Well, when I was here last time, I think I did one on soul winning, you know.
Yeah.
I end up preaching, you know,
yeah.
Try to You can't help but preach, you know. Why? Because God called me to preach. Amen. I had a friend once years ago. He said when he was 10 years old, he was at a camp. And when they gave the invitation, he went forward and got on his knees. When he stood up, he turned around, looked at all the kids there, all the kids, 10 years old. Looked at all the kids and said, God has called me to preach.
Amen.
And became a good regular Baptist fellowship. But back then, that was King James guy, good group. And he, and boy, could he preach. You know, he said, I don't know, God, I'm just going to preach. So that means if you want me to pastor, I'm going to do it. If you want me to be an evangelist, I'll do it. If you want me to be a missionary, I'll do it. If you want me to just go, you know, whatever you want me to do. He became a pastor, you know, and also became the president of the Bible college for a little while. And then became a pastor, you know. I tell you what, God's good, amen.
Amen.
And why? Because
all
God called him to preach, and he's just being obedient to God.
Amen.
You know, and that's what it takes. Just here's what we need to do. You young men, listen to me for a minute. Anybody in this room, really, but young men especially, here's what you need. Lord, whatever you want of me, I'm willing to do.
Amen.
Whatever you want of
amen.
Me, I'm willing to do. He might not want you in the ministry. He might want you to serve in the church, being a support to the pastor.
That's right, amen.
We need that today. Not everybody is called to preach. Not everybody is called to be a missionary. Not everybody is called to be an evangelist. But we are all called to do the will of God and be obedient to God as a child of God.
Amen.
Even us preachers have to be obedient to God as a child of God. Amen.
Amen.
Ms. Harris, that's what we need. Amen.
Amen.
We don't see that much today. Look what he says again with me. He says, what, in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. By the way, this is the work of the body that we see here. There's some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the, watch, here's the work of the body. That's the church. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of one knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So back up again. He gives us apostles and prophets and evangelists. And some of those, by the way, there we don't have apostles today and we don't have prophets today other than preaching through the Word of God.
Right.
But we do have evangelists and we do have pastors and teachers. Amen. And so he said, what's the purpose? Here's the purpose of the preachers. All right, these preachers. For the perfecting of the saints. That you might come to the fullness of Christ. We see here in a minute. Again, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry.
It's the work of the ministry. Yeah.
But that's not just for the pastor and the evangelist and the preachers and the teachers. That's for every born-again believer. They are supposed to train you and work with you for the work of the ministry. Watch. For the edifying of the body of Christ. What's that? Edifying. That's the building up of the body of Christ. That's what
Amen.
We're supposed to do, to
Amen.
Build up the body of Christ. Amen.
Yep.
He says, until when? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, let me just give my thought on this verse. And you can go a lot of different directions with this, but here's to me where it ends up, preacher, until Christ comes.
Amen.
Amen.
Come.
Until Christ comes.
Uh-huh. Yep.
All right. So we see, but he said, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So now the next thought I want you to look over in chapter 5 with me. That's the work of the body. We saw the work of the Spirit. We saw faith in Christ. We saw redeemed by the blood. But look here in chapter 5 with me, and I want to begin reading in verse 22 of chapter 5. And now here's the walk of the believer, the walk of the believer, that ye may put off concerning the former conversation. That's the old lifestyle.
Yeah.
The former conversation. All right, they may put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I've used this illustration before. about putting off the old man and putting on a new man, but he said be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So you can put off the old man you want, but if you don't get renewed in the spirit of your mind, that means getting close to God, confessing sin, making it right with God. If you don't get close to God, you're going to go right back to the old man. And that, listen to me, that is easy to do. The old man is present. The old man is there to destroy you. The old man is there to stop you from doing what's right as a child of God.
Amen.
So he said, but you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you do that? Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible, amen. And when you see something that's wrong in your life, confess it. Get it right. And make it right.
Amen.
And make it right.
Amen.
And make it right.
Amen.
You know, when I was, I'm going to go through more of this in a little bit here, but when I was growing up, you know, there were things I did that my mom never knew about. And but when I got older and got saved, I told my mom what I did when I was younger. And I actually, when I got out of prison, the first day out, the next morning, I got out that night or that day and got home and they had a little trailer out back of their house for me to stay in, one of them little turtle top things, you know. And that's what I lived in for a few months until I got married, for about a month until I got married. And as I was staying out there the next morning, I walked into my mom's kitchen up at the house, and she knew I was coming up, so she had some bacon on the stove, and you know, she's frying me up some.
Go ahead, preacher. Hang on right there.
Frying me up some bacon.
I got
a pig coming pretty soon, brother. Half a pig.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get that thing. Real bacon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I told my mom. I said, Mom, sit down. I want to talk to you for a minute.
Amen.
And
amen.
And so she said, well, let me finish. I said, no, shut the bacon off. You can get that in a little bit. It'll be fine. Shut the stove off. And so she did. I got a cup of coffee, sat down there, and she's next to me. I said, Mom, I want to tell you something. I said, I'm so sorry for the way I treated you as I was growing up. I was not right. I was wrong. And Mom was just going to ask, would you please forgive me? And like every good mother, of course, what she say? There's nothing to forgive. I said, oh, yes, I got to. Mama says, I've got to hear it from you. This is for you, and I need it just as much as you do. And she said, I forgive you.
Yeah,
you know. And boy, we talked and talked. Things I did that she never knew I did.
Yeah.
Never had an idea that I did, you know. But yet, here she forgave me. See, that's what it takes. I want you guys to understand this.
Yeah, amen.
You can't just say, I'm sorry.
Right, right.
I think it's okay.
Amen.
All right. We need to say, would you forgive me?
Amen.
I'm sorry. Here's these words. I'm sorry. It's hard to say. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. That's what we need. That's what you're going to need in your life. It's not just the young fellas. And I'm not picking on you guys. Understand that, all right? I just know how teenagers are.
Yeah.
I know how I was. I know what I think, you know.
Yeah.
But that's for every one of us.
Right.
That's for every one of us. Well, he says, look what he says. He says, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on a new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lies, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let's be honest. Let's just be honest, people. Be angry and sin not. Let's not go around being angry and shouting at people and hollering at people and yelling at people and kicking people and smacking people and telling them how stupid they are. Listen, that's anger. Let's not be angry and sin not. Do you think he knew you'd get angry sometimes? Absolutely. He says sin not. Don't hit the guy because you get angry at him, amen. Don't road rage with him and run him off the road because you're angry at him. Don't sit behind him at a stoplight blowing your horn 20 times because I'll tell you what'll happen. I worked with a guy down in Virginia Beach and he pulled up and there was a red light and he pulled up and the car in front of him didn't move. The guy in front of him was arguing with his wife or his girlfriend or somebody. He's arguing with him and this guy's in a pickup truck behind him. He's blowing the horn. The guy gets out of the car, walks back to him. His window was down. He slugged him in the face, reached in, took his keys and threw him out in the weeds and he could not find his keys because that's road rage. Amen. Yeah, that's terrible. Amen. But believers are like that.
Yeah.
Believers are like that today.
Yeah, that's for it too.
Well, I tell you, we ought to be very careful, don't we? We
Amen.
Need to be careful.
Amen.
And let them store, steal no more. Don't be a thief, amen. But rather let them labor working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he might have to give him that needeth. And he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And he said, oh, man, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of what? Redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil be speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another. That's the hard one. That's the hard one.
Amen.
That's the hard one.
Especially
amen. That's right. But especially when they're Michigan, fans. Amen.
Amen.
So, and be kind one to another. Here's another hard one. Tenderhearted.
Oh, help us.
Here's another hard one. Forgiving one another. Now listen, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How did Christ forgive you? When you asked him, he forgave you.
Yeah.
That's how we're supposed to be. That's how you say, but you don't know how I've been offended. It doesn't matter. If they're really repentant and they're asking for forgiveness, then we need to forgive them. We just need to forgive them.
That's good.
Look with me, if you will, chapter 5. We see over in the book of what is chapter 5. But over in chapter 5 again. Down to verse 3. Watch, here's the separation of the believer. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not once be named among you as becoming saints. Don't let that be named among you as a church. Don't, my friends, stay pure before God. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving a thanks. That's what we ought to be doing, amen. Giving thanks. Thank you, God. Amen. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, he's not saying that a person's not saved that gets things right with God, but a person who lives that way all the time, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
And no repentance.
Yeah.
No repentance. Probably does not know the Lord in a personal way.
Right.
Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye are sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of things which are done of them in secret. Even a shame. I think we need to go back and believe what the Scripture says, amen, and practice the very Word of God, amen, brother.
Amen.
And then look at chapter 6 with me. We see the service of the believer.
Amen.
Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor the father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I remember Cale when he was just a little tyke, about 4 years old. He was in North Carolina preaching a revival meeting on a Sunday night. A bunch of the teenagers, probably about 12 teenagers, were sitting down front here talking. And Cale grabs his Bible, and he walks up to the steps. And the pastor says, Cale, you're going to preach? He says, yep. And he gets over and he goes like this, and he slips to this side where those teenagers are. And he says, the Bible says, children, obey my parents in the Lord. This is right. Let's sing. That was a message, amen. First time he ever preached. And he could preach. I've heard him preach, you know.
My parents.
Yeah. Everybody just cackled at him, you know, 4 years old. And he thought that was the message he wanted to give all these teenagers. Obey my parents in the Lord. You know, amen. Praise the Lord. We look at the scripture. He says, servants will be obedient. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I mean, it's easy. That means that we're doing something that's provoking the wrath. Not that we're teaching them right, brother. And sometimes you're teaching them right, and they still think you're provoking them when you're not.
Yeah.
You're provoking them to do what's right as a child of God. It's talking about don't be mean and ugly to them. Amen. I had to apologize to my daughters after they were out of home and married. I tell you, every year we get together, I take my two daughters out to lunch with me somewhere. We just sit down and cackle and laugh and have a good time, amen. And I remember the first time I did that a number of years ago, they were still in Bible college, I think. I told them, would you please forgive me? Because I've been a jerk sometimes, you know, and sometimes I just saw I was, amen. And I said, I realize it now, but I didn't realize it then. Oh, Dad, you're fine. No, would you forgive me? Well, yeah. I mean, just, you know, because everything's fine, you know. It's, yeah.
When are you and I going to go out for
dinner? I don't know. It ain't going to happen, unless you're paying, brother.
I was wanting to know the part where you said that you've been a jerk to me.
Or no, that ain't going to happen. Truth is truth. What can I say? Amen. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Otherwise, yeah, you're working a job. You might not be a servant in that term today, but you're working a job. You do what's right as a child of God with fear. With fear and trembling in singleness of heart, your heart is unto the Lord, not with eye service as men please, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Well, I tell you what, I think the Bible has a lot to say about our service to the Lord. Amen.
Right.
It's got more. I mean, I can elaborate on this, sure. Brother. There's a whole message right there in that text. Each one of these points, there's a whole message in.
Absolutely.
I just highlighted for you today. It's one of my favorite highlights through Ephesians. Amen. It's one. Maybe I'll do the next one next time I come. But the Lord is just... Listen, we need to be servants of the Lord. We need to be obedient to Him. We can go through Philippians now. You ready? Oh, we're out of time. All right. No problem.
I'm good.
But God's, I know you are, brother.
Go ahead.
But God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just practice. By the way, you won't know what to practice if you're not in it. You need to be in the book. Amen.
Amen.
Need to be in the book. All right, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this morning, Father. Thank you for the church and the opportunity to be here, Father. And I pray again that you'd use these messages this week to honor and glorify you, Father, to speak to hearts and that you'd be magnified upon high and lifted up now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Jamie, don't turn us off just Kenny, run up here and help brother off the stage, please.
I got it.
No, you don't. Here, and this is his water. Do you help him, please? If you're watching, one of the things that I was doing, Brother Mike mentioned something. There's a song that I've been wanting to learn, and I've been kind of working on it. It's called Please Forgive Me. Jason Crabb sings it, but that's neither here nor there. But he says, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. And it's an amazing thing. Probably the two words that you have the most trouble with is forgive me. Now, maybe not so much with God, but with other human beings. Really, because we don't want to, we have, Christian, by the way, you shouldn't have troubles admitting to God, forgive me. But we have a hard time saying forgive me amongst us. There's been a couple times in pastoring here that my heart was just crushed. And I got one person to say, Pastor, forgive me. This is a bad problem you've got. Maybe this revival, these services, this preaching. And we just don't want to have services. We just don't want to sit in a pew. But we want God to work with us through the Word. And Brother Mike, that's a book, what you just preached. You could write a matter of fact. I think to me that is Mike Patterson's, if you want to use the word lineage or whatnot. But that's always been your message, what you just preached on this morning. If I could get him to sit down and, you know what, just record it. Well, I guess we got it back there on recording. But I wanted y'all to know that it's God shows mercy, and we as human beings can show mercy to one another. But the problem we have. We just can't admit to each other. There's been a number of times that I'll call Mike back and And, oh, Mike, forgive me, man. I have run into this and I run into that. And of all the people in my life, Mike's one of those top 50 people in my life. Anyway, top five, if it be truth. But seriously. Well, not to be super spiritual or anything, but Jesus is number one. Amen. And then Jamie's number two. And then Mama's number three. And then I'll let y'all jump in for number four. The point I want to make is, pray about this for this week. I think this is it. God, forgive me. So the submission of the believer that he spoke of. Well, he said it in another way. But the bent knee idea, all through Scripture. God, I'm not God. You are. May I be submitted to you. The Isaiah passage. The angel of the Lord comes there in chapter 6. And he has to go to his face. When was the last time you were face down? There's one thing I remember as a kid, and I'll let us, and we'll be done with Sunday school. Charles Stanley said this in the 80s, and I'd never heard it this way before. Charles Stanley was wrong in a lot of areas, and he was right in a lot of areas. He talked about in his office, he would get face down on the floor and begin to weep and pray. Now, I'd heard some of the old preachers talk about weeping, and I heard about some of the other preachers talking about kneeling, but never did I ever hear anything about face down. You really want to be submitted to God and the act of forgiveness and begging for His mercy? Get face down. Now, if you get face down, keep your cell phone with you. Call me and I'll come pick you up, okay? Amen? But you know, another form of being face down, you might be just laying in your bed. Sister Karis, I like to lay flat on my back. That's a good place. And the reason why I say that, and I'm done, I told you about the lady, I just lost her name, in Mississippi, that was 103, and she passed away. I'd been reading the Bible to her for a couple years, and all she could do was this. She could move her neck. She couldn't move anything else. She could talk. Her brain was as good and as fresh as you and I at 30. Well, me at 30 anyway. Yeah, I was going to say. But, you know, seriously, her mind was just amazing. And she lay flat on her back. And I learned then, I want to be face forward, but if I can be flat on my back, then I can be submitted to Him. I'm telling you all, rebellion is your worst problem. Father, we do thank you for Sunday school. I'd ask that you'd help Brother Mike with the next message. Help my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, ma'am.